Amen. It's great to be together as women. Y es increíble tener las hermanas latinas con nosotros. Les amamos mucho, eh? Hermanas, it's increíble. Kelly spoke a lot of Spanish. I know all the English world. That's good for us. You can learn more Spanish. Well, I'm very excited to speak to you tonight. The title tonight is Love and Respect. And I'm going to be talking about loving our husbands. And Shirley is going to be talking about respecting our husbands. And when you talk about building a great relationship, we all want to have great relationships, right, with our husbands. And we need to talk about ingredients. What are the ingredients? And that's why two very crucial ingredients to having a great marriage is love and respect. And when as you know, those of us that are cooks, is there anyone that know how to, there are great cooks in here, or bakers, more or less? I love to eat baked muffins. I'm an okay baker, but I'm not great. Like Elva is really great. But when you bake, and when, especially they say cooking is a, what is it, cooking is a science? No, baking is a science, cooking is an art. So you can kind of play around with the ingredients when you cook, but when you bake, you should not. Just that's another extra tip, because I've done that and I've messed things up. But when you're baking, you need the right ingredients, right? If you try and put the eggs in after it comes out of the oven, it's going to be a disaster, isn't it? If you forget the baking powder, you're going to have flat muffins. It's not going to work. And I think some of us are trying to make our marriages, but we're great. We want them to be great, but we're missing some important ingredients. So we want to encourage and refresh you tonight as women. The goal of this class is two things. To glorify God, we really want to be women that glorify God. And number two, we really want to be helpful to you. Because we know that your time is very valuable. So we want this class to be helpful in your daily life, okay, for you. So it's going to be simple, but prayerfully very practical. So let's open up in Titus 2. In Titus 2, verse 4, and I can read this. You can listen. If you have a Bible, we're going to actually, Titus chapter 2, in verse 3, and if you have a Bible, you can share with someone if you don't, okay? In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Likewise, tell the older women to be reverent in their behavior, not to be slanderers or slaves to drink. They are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, and be good managers of their household, kind, submissive to their husbands, so that the word of God may not be discredited." In some versions it says maligned, right? In some of your versions, so the word of God will not be maligned. I now am in the category of older women. And as an older woman, I know there's some of us that are a little older here, but as an older woman, God really wants all of us to help each other. But as an older woman, we need to help the younger women to do what? What are the two things? This is going to be an interactive class, okay? So if you're thinking I'm just going to kind of kick back, you're going to be involved tonight, okay? So what are the two things it says we have to teach women to do what? Yes, love their husbands, love their children, be self-controlled, be good managers of their household. What else? Kind. Submissive, subject to their husband, so that the word of God will not be discredited. And today, God's word is not being held up. It's not being lifted up in this world. Husbands are being bashed all over the place. I don't know if my husband is like, Laura, I don't know if it's the sitcoms or what it is, but the men do not feel loved. Many men today do not feel loved and they do not feel respected. And if we want to be different, if we want to be the salt of the earth, if we want to be lights that shine in this world, we need to be different. We need to be women that have marriages that are radiant because we're loving and respecting our husbands. So I just want to encourage you that this is a really great opportunity. If you're single tonight, that's okay. You can learn for the future, okay? And you can inspire other women that are married. You can share with your married friends everything that you learn. So how are you going to learn? I'm just going to talk about love. And how are you going to learn to love your husband more? And it all starts, sisters, with our relationship with God. Without my relationship with God, I cannot love my husband. Because my capacity to love is about right here. That's so you can see it. It's about right here. But if I love God, God teaches me to love, and my capacity to love my husband grows. By myself, I cannot love my husband the way God wants me to. So how are we going to learn this as Christian women? Through Jesus, we can learn how to love. And I'm going to talk about only one point tonight. Love means, to love, love takes sacrifice. Okay? Love takes sacrifice. And I know we don't like that word many times, but you're going to love it by the end of this 15, 20 minutes. You're going to love this word. So, let's look, I'm going to look at two examples of Jesus. Look over in Isaiah 53. Because God blesses sacrifice. In Isaiah 53, this is a prophecy about Jesus and what he was going to do for us. Isaiah 53, we're just going to read verse 5 to 10. And maybe someone, if they have a loud voice, could stand up and read it. Would anyone like to read it? The loud voice? Okay, Diane, you're good. You're right in the middle, and you have a nice loud voice. Okay, is everyone there? Isaiah 53, 5 to 10.
But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit.
One more verse, verse 10. That's all.
But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, that he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands.
Okay, thank you. So here we see the prophecy, right, of what Jesus was going to go through. And what does it explain? What are some of the things that Jesus went through for us so that we could be free of our sins? Says he, what are some of the words that stand out to you when you read this? Pierced. Scourged. Uh-huh.
Crushed.
Uh-huh. Jesus went through a lot. He suffered a lot so that we could have the forgiveness that we have now. You're going to heaven. On your worst day, you are going to heaven. Do you remember that? We can forget that. And that's all because Jesus was willing to sacrifice. It says, the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand because he was willing to go through that. That's one example. Also, look over in Philippians chapter 2. If you do a study, sisters, on love, it is always connected to sacrifice in the Bible. And as mothers and women, we know that, don't we? Because we sacrifice a lot at times. We've had to sacrifice. Philippians 2, just two verses, verse 7 and 8. Could someone read Philippians 2, 7 and 8? There's a hand going up. Okay, Karen? Uh-huh.
But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Okay, thank you. So Jesus, in my version, it says he emptied himself, he humbled himself, he was born in human likeness, he became obedient to what point? Did you ever say, God, I'll go this far, but don't ask me to go this far? I'll be this humble with my husband, but don't ask me to go to here. Jesus went to the point of death. He was humble and obedient to the point of death. Sisters, remember that we all said, the majority of us, we all said, Jesus is Lord. I want to follow Jesus. And I think that sometimes when we think, as women, did you ever feel like this? We've sacrificed a lot, right? We do. Women are known for being willing to be serving, to be sacrificial. We put everyone before us. It's our husbands, our children, everything. We're last sometimes on the list. But there's a part of us also that wants to be comfortable, right? And when something gets, we want comfortable shoes. We want our house to be comfortable. We want our bed to be comfortable. We want comfort. And when something gets uncomfortable, all of a sudden, have you ever heard yourself saying, this cannot be right. This cannot be good. And this cannot be what God wants for me. Right? Do you ever feel like that? This is very uncomfortable for me. And we don't like it. And we want to just avoid anything that becomes inconvenient or uncomfortable. And I want to ask you, let's look at one more scripture about Jesus. Matthew, and I want to know what you think when you read this. Matthew 26. And we are going to read Matthew 26, 36. Okay, who else? Someone from this side, because we don't want this side to get all the attention. And who would like to read from this side? Matthew 26, 36. Anyone? Stacy. Okay. That's okay. Okay, Matthew 26, 36 to 39. This is Jesus. It's a very serious moment in the life of Jesus. Okay? In Matthew 36 to 39. 26, 36 to 39. Thank you. You know, I read this passage. This is a very famous passage. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I would encourage you, sisters, I'm going to give you several scriptures at the end, just as you can go back and look at them tomorrow in your time with God. But I would encourage you to read Matthew 26, 36 to 39 in different versions in the Bible, because it will really impact you. I read this in the New Revised Standard. And it says that Jesus was going to Gethsemane. You can kind of imagine him going out, walking in Gethsemane. And in the fields, there's olive trees there. And he said, it says here that he took Peter and the sons of Zebedee with him. He was grieved. He was agitated. And it says in my version, he threw himself on the ground. Jesus was just distraught. Jesus was so distraught, he threw himself on the ground and started begging God, God, if I could not go through this, please take this cup from me. I don't want to go through this. But at the end he said, but if this is your will, I will do it. I will do it, God, if this is what you want. And sisters, sometimes I think we stop short because sometimes we think, if this is this hard, it can't be God's will. When actually Jesus was doing God's will, and that's why he was sacrificing. That's why he was suffering, because that's what it took at that moment to do God's will. Are you following me? In other words, it's just because you think this is so hard. This is so hard to be submissive. This is so hard to be humble. This can't be right. This can't be good. This goes against everything in me. God can't want me to do this. That is not true. It just means that it absolutely, if it's in the Bible, if it's what God calls us to be as women, then he wants us to do it. It's just going to require more prayer and more strength from God to do it. You can't do it on your own. You've got to go to God. Jesus, this is estimated that he prayed 3 hours to be able to go to the cross. 3 hours to be, and he had his the disciples, the apostles, deserting him. They weren't exactly supportive at that moment. They were very tired. They were falling asleep. So I just want to, that's just the foundation, sisters, of what, it's just cut me a lot even preparing this class. That we need to think about, love means sacrifice. It really does. If you're going to follow Jesus, love means sacrifice. And now, as women, as I said, sometimes we sacrifice, right? We're like, okay, I'll make his, you know, Peter will come home sometimes, and we have dinner together as a family, frequently. But some, I'd say many times in a week. But sometimes they'll come home at 10:30 and go, what's for dinner? And I'm like, what's for dinner? It's 10:30. Like, the kitchen is closed. You know, I didn't, can you see the sign I put? The chef left. And she's not a great chef to start with. So there's a part of you that does, you know, I thought, but I thought, I saw in my heart what would happen is I go, okay, I'll do, I'm going to do, be a good wife and do the right thing here. But I was not doing it with a good attitude. And what does God look at? Does anyone know what the Bible says about what God looks at? Thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So as women, we will sacrifice. We will, okay, I'll carry my cross. I'm going to cook for you. You know? But we do not, we do it with resentment in our heart. We do it with bitterness. And we do it with anger at times. Now, you, if you sin in that way, you need to just repent of it. Okay, you need, tonight is a night, good news, we're going to have prayerfully have some time at the end to talk. Just get, group up with whoever close to you and you can talk, confess your sin if you want. But I want tonight to be a time we can let go of the anger or the resentment or the bitterness, because you can't love your, or let me put it this way, let me ask you, can you love your husband? Can you love God if your heart is full of bitterness, resentment, and anger? Can you love God? No, you can't. So I want to encourage you to let it go tonight. You know, to let it, to confess it, to get rid of it, to serve. Jesus did this willingly. He gave himself, let's do it willingly. God loves a, what kind of giver? Cheerful giver, yes. My daughter started this, these weeks for her birthday she got, it's called Hip Hop Abs, or, and then, Ab Ripper X is another one. It sounds bad, doesn't it? It is. It is bad. So it's hard. So they say on this tape, you need, you know, they start out and they say, you need three things to do this. You need water, you need a towel, and you need a good attitude. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm failing on the second, last one. So I want to encourage you tonight. Forget about the water and the towel from right now. But you need to be, love your husband, you need to have a good spirit, an attitude that is going to really be, I want to have the right attitude. At least the desire, to start with the desire. We're going to look at three quick areas. But I want to encourage you tonight to really want to love your husband in a sacrificial way. And get rid of the resentment and the bitterness, to sacrifice for him so he can really feel your love. He needs your love, sisters. Our husband, it is not easy to be a man. It is not easy to lead. It is very difficult to have the burden that they feel to lead us, because we're not all easy to lead. I put myself in that category. I repent every day, many times a day at times, but I want to be easy to lead. That's my goal, daily. But we're not, it's not easy. Do you realize that? Do you realize that there's a lot of, they get very discouraged? And they need our, we're very, very important to their self-esteem. So I'm going to look at three very quick areas of loving our husbands. In order to love them, we need to, number one, sacrifice emotionally. Because love is, love takes what? Sacrifice. If you walk away with one thing tonight, what is it going to be? Love takes sacrifice. First way we have to sacrifice to love our husband, sacrifice emotionally. You're like, oh, now you're stepping on my toes. You want me to deny my emotions? Yes. Sacrifice emotionally means you display self-control in the way you speak to your husband. You don't tell him all the problems at 11 o'clock at night. Okay? You don't. You hold back. Did you ever hear that? Hold back? You know? Sacrifice emotionally, what else could that mean? You're humble. You're humble. When everything in you wants to be mad and prideful, you are the first one to apologize. I went to a women's training day recently. This woman has had her doctorate. She has her doctorate. You know what she said? She said, what makes a great marriage? I mean, what is the key to a great marriage? And we expected a big, you know, big explanation. She said, isn't it one thing? It's really one thing. We're all like, okay, what? She said, humility. Humility is the key to a great marriage. And I said, amen, that is so true. I try and be the first one to apologize. Apologize first. That's sacrificing emotionally. Have a submissive spirit. Try and be agreeable. Yes, I'd love to do that. That would be great. You can be open about how you feel. But you have to sacrifice. What else to you? Is there anything else I'm missing? What does it mean to you to sacrifice emotionally? Yes. Tone of voice. Yes. My husband will say, Laura, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Could you lower your voice? I'm like, I am calm. No, you're not calm. You're not. I'm like, I thought I was very calm compared to how I feel. No, it's not. And then I have to be humble, take his advice, go, okay, take a deep breath. Sorry. Start again. What else? What else is sacrificing emotionally to love your husband? What else? Anything else? Joyful. Ooh, that's a good one. Be joyful. You just want to, you know, do you ever hear in the house the woman sets the tone? Have you heard that? Guess what? It's true. There's an old Southern expression, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. That's true too. Okay? We need to deny, you know, there's always something you can be. Yes, did you want, oh, she was raising her hand, really? Giving grace. That's really good. Giving grace. Oh, praise. Okay, praise. Giving praise. Yes, that's very good. Giving encouragement and praise. That can be a sacrifice to some of us, because emotionally, what do we want to do? Criticize. Give them the scroll of things they need to change, you know? And just on that note, get other brothers and men involved in your husband's life. Don't be trying to be their personal Holy Spirit, personal conscience. It just from here, we've been married over 20 years, and there's many, I can attest that doesn't work. It does not work, okay? So sacrifice emotionally. I think if you just even think that, emotionally, what do I want to do? I'm going to sacrifice it right now and do what's right. That'll help. Next, second one, sacrifice physically. Physically. I'm not going to go into this because next week is all about the sexual relationship. But I just want to encourage you to say, yes, I'd love to. Sure, that would be great. I know I'm tired and I have a headache, but that's okay. I'd still love to be with you. Okay? What? Initiate. Yes, initiate. And the sacrifice physically does not just mean in the sexual relationship. It also means serving when you're tired, right? When you don't want to make the sandwich, when you don't want, and you do it with a good attitude. You get up and you do what you need to do. But I also want to say sacrifice, I'll just mention this. I'm sure Nancy's going to hit it. But I hear too many sisters, it just blows my mind how many women do not give to their husbands sexually. I mean, you should, that's very, do you know that men, it's super, super important physically? Even physiologically, they need it. So I want to encourage you, go home and initiate tonight. Go for it. Okay. Okay. Last one, sacrifice spiritually. Sacrifice spiritually. What could that mean? Sacrifice spiritually. Who knows? Yeah.
Pray for them.
Pray for them. Uh-huh. Be submissive. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, anything else? I wrote down some things I'll share briefly. Pull your own weight spiritually. Pull your own weight. That means have your own relationship with God. I'll be honest, when I was dating my husband, there was a long line of sisters, and I was at the end of the line. I really was. I was not Latina, one stripe. I was not like this dynamic leader. I was a wallflower, described as a wallflower. I've tried to change. But you know what? My husband said, Laura, what I really felt about you is that if I was in sin, I knew you would help me get out of it. He said, I knew you had conviction. And that is very, very important, that we're not women that are plowing over at all, but you have your own relationship with God. He can count on you, but if he's having a bad day, You're not going to sleep in too. You're going to get up and go to church. And you're going to encourage him by your example that you want to be there spiritually. You're willing to sacrifice. Reading your Bible every day, praying every day. I've gotten together with Ceci and I. Ceci's with the kids. We get up. Sometimes we meet at 6 a.m. and we go on a prayer walk. It's awesome. It's really encouraging. I want to encourage you. I don't hear many spontaneous prayer times being called amongst the women. Let's get up and go pray. Let's pray at midnight. Let's pray at 11. Now, if I have noticed this, if we call a party at whatever time, guess what happens? Yeah, I'm ready. Where is it? Let's go, right? There's over 50 women there like that. Okay? We call a prayer time. And you know what I have to do? I just want to be open, share the sadness in my heart. I call a prayer time, and you know what I have to do? I have to call and go, please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Do you think that's right?
No.
But if we call, I really want to ask you, do you believe in prayer? Do you believe it's a good investment of your time? Then why aren't we praying more? Get a prayer partner. I love to pray with other women. I love to. It just encourages me so much. Sometimes I feel like I get fearful, I get insecure, I get anxious. I need another sister with me. It kind of gives me more strength to pray. So I want to encourage you to pray for your husband. Spiritually sacrifice. You could have a fasting day with a sister if you feel like your husband's not doing well. You don't have to tell him, I'm fasting for you just so you know. Because you're really giving me headache. No, you don't tell him. Fasting is a secret thing. Just you and God and the other sister that you're doing it with, okay? But God knows. Do you know, they're downstairs in the Kingdom Kids area. I don't know if you realize. Do you know what they have? A bulletin board. It says, Rockets to God's Heart. And that's the prayers. And all the kids wrote their prayers. Do you believe that your prayers are rockets to God's heart? If the little kids, the 5 and 7-year-olds, believe it, you need to believe that you can actually influence the creator of the universe by your prayers. I believe that. That's why I pray. I've seen so many things happen. God moves when you pray. Keep praying and believing. Okay? So I want to close out. Let's read 1 Peter. And then Shirley's going to come up. Are you guys still with us?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, good. 1 Peter. And we're going to remember that love takes sacrifice, right? Loving our husband in what areas? Emotional, physical, and spiritually. And I want to encourage you the next prayer time we have that the pet room will be packed. I'll have to leave because there'll be so many people there. That will be amazing. 1 Peter 3. 13-14. Am I in the right? Yeah. Does someone want to read this? This is short. Millie, you want to read it? Go for it. Yeah, 1 Peter 3, just verse 13 and 14. You can read it loudly. Feel free to preach. No.
You are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened.
Yeah, that's great. So it says, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. So often we are worried, like you're like, I'm willing to sacrifice, but I might get taken advantage of. It's, you know what, it's okay. You need to be, obviously, if there's abuse, that's absolutely not tolerated. That's not right. No abuse. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about being humble, maybe being wronged in your marriage, maybe having to apologize on the other when you feel like my husband was really wrong. You could talk to someone about that after, but God, it says here, what does it say? If who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? Even if you suffer for doing what is right, you will be blessed. God blesses sacrificial love. Okay? So I want to encourage you that, and I want to leave you with a challenge. Don't be burdened by the thought of sacrificing to love your husband. Embrace it. Be happy. Go, wow, I get to sacrifice. I have a husband to sacrifice for. That's awesome. There are so many women that would love to have a husband and have one that they could sacrifice for. So I want to challenge you. The next time you're thinking, should I do this or that? You have two options. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I sacrifice? Should I not? Should I go to the prayer time? Should I watch TV? Should I serve my husband? Should I be selfish? Right? All these, we don't think, should I be selfish? We think, or should I do what I want to do? Right? I want to challenge you to choose the sacrificial route. Choose the way of Jesus for a month, 1 month at least, and you will see the great victories, how God exalts and lifts up. If you go through the study I looked at, let me tell you what it says about women people that sacrifice. God lifts them up. God exalts them. God blesses those who willingly and gladly will sacrifice to do His will. So I love you, sisters, and I really believe in you, that you guys can be awesome women that love your husbands. And I'm in it with you. Absolutely. I'm still growing, and I'm still trying to change and love my husband. But I really want to do it. I want to have a marriage that radiates joy and love so we can make a difference, for God and also in this world, to make the women around us desperately need it. Thank you.
Well, I am really thankful for the things that Laura shared. My name is Shirley Moss, and I'm definitely one of the older ones in this congregation. And I want to share with you some things that I truly appreciate about my relationship with God and really being a part of this family, His church, because I get to hear from Laura, and I get to hear from other women who love God and really want to do His will. Like so many women, we are bombarded by the media as to what a woman of today is like. And there are some handouts, and I'm sorry I don't have enough. We got a large crowd tonight, and it's great. But when you think about women in the media, they come across as selfish, self-focused, very sexual a lot of times. Maybe that is the most important trait or the most important thing they have to offer to a man. But they're not, you know, they come across as aggressive sometimes. But they certainly don't come across like the Proverbs 31 woman. And unfortunately, too many times in my life, I have been like the foolish woman. And I want to ask you to turn over to Proverbs 14. Verse 1, because, you know, I find myself being like those women I see on television. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. I don't know about you, but I hate it when I see that I've torn my husband down. It takes a lot to build someone up, but it doesn't take much to tear someone down.
Yeah.
You know, Laura talked about just loving sacrificially. I've had to learn from godly women how to love someone sacrificially. One thing that I had a bad habit of doing, if I didn't like something, I'd give somebody the eye. And I've had to learn through the years to stop looking at people in an unloving way. There are certain habits that you develop over time, and you see these things portrayed in the women on television. And another passage that I think about as far as just really striving to be a Proverbs 31 woman is how we have to do what 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says. And it reads in the New International, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I love it when women share their lives and their hearts and their convictions, because we do need to take our thoughts captive. At one of the marriage retreats that I have the privilege of going to, a sister that I admire a lot shared a book that she was reading, and it's called Love and Respect. And I can't go through all of this in the time that we have together tonight. But I'm going to share with you some things that I really valued. She talked about the fact that from reading this book, She saw ways that she was not respecting her husband. And I thought, my goodness, I really appreciate her humility. If this is a woman who has been leading churches and leading women all over the world, who am I to think that I shouldn't get this book and learn how to respect my husband? Because too many times I'm the foolish one who tears my husband down. And so I started reading this. And I did share with Laura, Laura, there are some things I just really want to share with sisters. Because I see the value in the things that this man is sharing. Our husbands desperately need to be treated with unconditional love. It's not something that they are to earn. In the same way that we want to be loved unconditionally, we need to respect them unconditionally. Does it take time? Does it take training? Yes, it does. Does it mean I'm going to take my thoughts captive? Yes, it does. When you see a woman treating her husband like I did in the airport when I was traveling, her husband offered to help her. She grabbed her stuff and went on. I have it. And I just sat there and I was like, oh my. And I asked this gentleman next to me, did you feel like she treated him with respect? And he said, no. And it's obvious. Our actions say a lot. Now, for some of you are reading this book, and I'm not going to cover, but what I'm going to cover is an acronym that he gave. And it spells chairs. There's no really, it's not like he's sitting on the throne, but it's just a way to help you to remember certain areas about our husbands as far as unconditional respect. One thing also, I want to encourage you to look at the Proverbs 31 woman, because there's a part of, in verse 12, it says, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. This is one thing that I have held dearly in my heart. I want to bring my husband good, not harm, all the days of his life. I've brought my husband harm. I've been married 28 years. I know I've harmed my husband. And I thank God that he gives me women that I can imitate and women that I can follow so that I can learn to build him up. He's an awesome guy. He's a gift from God to me. I was someone who did not want to get married. I was bitter. I was like, you can have it. I don't want it. And so with an attitude like that, I really have to learn from others how to love my husband and how to build him up. So the first thing in striving to be that Proverbs 31 woman, the first one is C for conquest. Our husbands have a desire to work and achieve. Since the beginning of creation, man was created to work in the field to provide for his family. Now, Laura talked about just some things that we can challenge ourselves with. I've only put down one thing under each of these letters as far as the acronym that spells chairs. So one thing that he suggests that we do as women is we can tell him verbally or in writing that you value his work efforts. One thing that my husband recently shared with me is that he wants to become an assistant principal. That's a demanding job. Because I want to bring my husband good and not harm, I kept my mouth shut. Because I know how demanding it is. I work as a school teacher. I see principals. I see the demands on principals. I also know that my husband struggles with working with middle school students in his classroom. And I thought to myself, you really want to take on that job? But I didn't say that. Because this is a dream of his. If I had said what I was thinking, it would have crushed him. I want to bring him good, not harm, all the days of my life. H is for hierarchy. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide. God also created man to protect and provide for his wife and family, and if necessary, to die for them. Something you can do is praise his commitment to provide for and protect you and the family. He needs to know you don't take this for granted. I'm going to quickly share one thing with my husband is he likes all the doors closed. And even in the car, the door has to be closed. The front door has to be closed and locked. And I used to make fun of him with all that. I was like, what's the, why do we have to? Since reading this book, guess what? I appreciate the fact that he wants to protect me. Yeah, a foolish woman. Didn't understand. I'm making fun of my husband because he wants everything locked. Didn't realize that he's only responding to the way that God made him. He wants to protect. And if it does seem kind of like, what's the big deal? It's a big deal to him, and I need to honor that. Again, bring him good, not harm, all the days. The next one, authority. He desires to serve and to lead. God knew that someone had to be in charge in a marriage. And that is why Scripture clearly teaches that in order for things to work, the wife is called upon to defer to her husband. Something that the author suggests is you can express your appreciation by telling him you are thankful for his strength and enjoy being able to lean on him at times. Something that this foolish woman would do is, yeah, I'm a disciple. I would go to other sisters to get advice. I wouldn't go to my husband for advice. That's being a foolish woman. I've learned since that I get my husband's advice about things. I've learned to lean on my husband, to treat him with respect. He wants to lead. My husband is an elder in the congregation. I need to support him. I need to learn how to go to him for advice and let him know that I value his input. Yes, I have sisters discipling me. I need that. They help me to love my husband. They also help me to respect my husband. But this book helps me to see more the value in me getting his input and letting him have authority in the family and not to undermine it. You watch these television shows, they're always undermining men and authority. I see it. I work in a classroom. Children are constantly challenging adults and authority. It's all through our society. And we can't be fooled in thinking we're not doing it and we're not being affected by it. Again, taking all those thoughts captive and bringing him good and not harm. Insight and appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. Men should listen to their wives, we understand that, who are naturally intuitive, but wives should not fail to appreciate the insight God has given their husbands and reject their counsel. The example is Adam and Eve. Eve was the one that was deceived. Adam knew what was right to do. He chose to listen to Eve. But it would have been better if she had gone to him and asked him what God had said instead of talking to the serpent. So again, God knows what he's doing in the way that he has created man. One thing that the author suggests is that you show your appreciation by thanking him for his advice without acting insulted or like he doesn't care about your feelings. Because a lot of times our husband are going to want to make suggestions and want to help us, and we may think, I have a better idea. But we need to listen. We need to respect them by listening and value what they say. Because we want to be wise women, like that Proverbs 31 woman, and not a foolish woman who tears it down. Relationship. Appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. The Old and New Testament speak of lovers being friends in Song of Solomon and Titus 2. One thing you can do is tell your husband that you like him and show it. He knows that you love him, but he often wonders if you really like him. Something that Dave and I will do at different times is we'll look at each other and I'll say, I like you. And you know, that seems funny, but it says a lot, because at one time I did not consider Dave to be my best friend. I considered sisters to be my best friend, but I didn't consider my husband to be my best friend. And yes, we're called to love unconditionally, but for me to tell him I like you, that says a lot. It says you're my friend. Now, one thing that was really convicting in this book, as far as the shoulder-to-shoulder relationship, and I go, was he said, and this is something my husband does, and I didn't understand that. He would ask me to come and sit and watch a television program with him. You know, sports right now, a lot of sports. And in the book, the author talks about the fact that the woman would sit down and she feels like, oh, I got laundry to do, I got this to do, I got this. And then, guess what? She gets up and she starts attending to those things. That does not bring him respect. He wants you to sit there with him. And, you know, we think we know best, we know better. But he wants us right there next to him. And I can't go into details about it. He does. But it's convicting. Again, we want to bring him good and not harm. The last thing is sexuality. His desire for sexual intimacy. Now, I know that Nancy's going to talk about that more. And Laura talked about that as well. He needs sexual release as you need emotional release. This is why he loves the act of sex in it and of itself. One thing the author suggested is that you can help him by responding to him sexually more often and initiate sex periodically. You know, and one thing he said, you know, what if your husband didn't talk to you for 3 days? 3 weeks? 3 months? A year? You know, you'd be really upset. And so that's how important the physical act is to your husband. So, you know, I highly recommend reading Love and Respect. It's by Dr. Emerson Eckridge, and he gives a lot of advice on unconditional love and respect. It's a book for men and women. And again, it's spelled chairs. And for some of you who got the handouts, you understand what those different... And these are just some things to help us to make our marriages really great, energetic, and ones that bring glory to God and really create a marriage that the world is going to want. And when you read the Proverbs 31 woman, she is a woman that I desire to be, you know, I want to be like her. She's a wise woman. She's a giving woman. She's a sacrificial woman. And she's a woman who loves her husband unconditionally, respects her husband unconditionally. So these are some of the things I'm learning. I'm so glad I could share these things with you. I am learning, you know, there's so much to learn. But I want to bring my husband good and not harm all the days of his life. So, thank you.
I want to give you a couple of scriptures just for tomorrow for your quiet time, which you can look these up. I really hope you go over tonight, because that's going to help you to get it in your heart. We have the scriptures that Shirley gave, which were awesome. Also, Hosea chapter 6. Hosea 6, 4 to 6, or 4 to 7, I think. Proverbs 10, 12. 1 Corinthians 8, 1. And Galatians 2, 19 to 20. Okay, so you can look at those in your time with God. Do you need them repeated? Yes? Okay, sorry. Hosea 6. You can just read verse 4 to 7, Proverbs 10, 12, 1 Corinthians 8, 1, and Galatians 2, 19 to 20.